Colossians 3. It's Colossians 3. I'll be reading verses 12 and 13. Colossians 3, 12 and 13. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has had any grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. It's possible it's kneel for prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for another beautiful Sabbath, a time where we can come apart from this world, we can come together, we can worship you in this place. Dear Father, we thank you for the blessings that you have given each one of us, for life itself, but more importantly, dear Father, for the opportunity to get to know you. Dear Father, continue to lead and guide us. We want to thank you for Pastor Perry and his willingness to come and bring your word to us this morning. May our hearts be opened. May we hear your voice. May we become stronger Christians, for we have spent time with you this morning. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Kimberly, for that wonderful song. It fits right in, I think, with some of the words that I want to present today. I want to thank this church for their prayers for me. Wednesday, I was lying at the surgery center. They put me out, and they did an endoscopy on me to see if the cancer that I had internally was still growing. And they went down and looked, and when I came to, the first words I heard the doctor say was, "It's a miracle." Yeah. He said, "The tumors are gone, and all is there, just some scar." And I guess that's the reason I'm here this morning. Because if I had been, and I want to really thank Colleen, your secretary. She's a godly woman. She prayed with me right on the phone, and I felt much better. Prayer changes things, doesn't it? And I believe in a praying church, and I believe in a praying home and family. And God is so good. He hears our prayers, He forgives our sins, and He cleanses us from all iniquity. And I praise His name for that this morning, don't you? We serve a wonderful prayer-hearing God. And among the many virtues that Jesus demonstrated while he was here on this earth was the virtue of forgiveness. And the scripture, or the question of forgiveness, is not always an easy one to answer. I have found that sometimes, even at the suggestion of forgiveness, some people get very nervous and upset. And as I was preparing this sermon, something came to my mind. What about me? Am I a forgiving person? Do I really forgive? Or do I just ask for forgiveness and then just leave it there? And I got to thinking, there may be two people in my life that I really need to work on forgiveness yet. One was the husband of my niece, and one is the former wife of my son. Because both of those people stood before me as a minister of the gospel and promised that they would love, honor, and cherish and live with until death do they part. And one, of course, was my former daughter-in-law, and one was the husband of my niece. And I got to thinking, have I really forgiven these people? What does it really mean to forgive? And I don't want to get off on a pathway of divorce and remarriage. I'm going to leave that between all of us and the Lord. But have I really forgiven? And if I have I let them know that I've forgiven them? That's a big question that comes to us as we talk on this subject of forgiveness this Sabbath morning. You know, Jesus said quite a lot about forgiveness. And when you stop and think how much he has forgiven us and how much we need forgiveness, that's a marvelous thing, isn't it? When we think that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we're all in need of forgiveness. Now, Peter, the disciple of Jesus, asked this question, and I'm hoping that someday, if I live long enough, I'll be able to use a computer and put all these texts up on the screen. But as it is, we're going to have to open our Bibles together this Sabbath morning, and we're going to look at what Jesus said and what Peter asked. The question that he asked was in Matthew chapter 18, Matthew chapter 18, because it's on the subject of forgiveness. And we're going to look there beginning at verse 21. Jesus had been talking about all the sinning brothers, and some do things against us, about the tax collectors. And so Peter asked this question. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And then what did he say? Up to seven times. Now, why do you think Peter said that? You know, it's one thing to ask the question, how often should my brother sin and I forgive him? But he put in there up to seven times, because the Jewish tradition and the leaders of the Jewish nation, they had a kind of a legal system all set up. They said, if someone sins against you, you forgive them up to three times, and if they do it again, you write them off. You don't forgive them anymore. Now, Peter thought, well, I'm going to be real generous because I know Jesus is a very kind and compassionate person, and I'll just double, more than double, what the elders would do. And so he suggested seven times. Now, I don't know that Peter was really prepared for the answer that Jesus gave. Because as we read on, we find that in the next verse, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, you mathematicians, how much is that? 490. You're right. I added that up. I got it written down here. Some of it can do that in your head. You can put down 490. Thing about Peter was that he was a little bit of a impetuous person, and he was a little bit of a self-proclaimed leader of the disciples. He, I think, was a little older, and as a little older disciple, he kind of felt like that he could lead, and found out later that he had a lot of problems. But Peter was asking this question to Jesus, and it was a very, very important question. And the other disciples really were amazed at what he said, because at what Jesus said, his teaching was that no matter how often someone sins against you or someone causes iniquity against you, you should be willing to forgive them. Now, you may be looking and examining your own heart this Sabbath morning. Is there someone that I should forgive? Is there someone that I should let them know that I have forgiven them? You know, that's very, very important. There are examples of people who struggled to forgive. I think of a friend of mine by the name of Daryl Bigger. Anybody remember him? Yeah. His daughter was killed back in the East. And I got to thinking, if someone killed one of my daughters, would I ever forgive them? You know, you think about that. And as I was thinking of that, there is a book that my wife has, and she shared it with me, about a young Rwandan lady who saw her brother, brothers, her mother, and her father killed during the Rwanda massacres that went on, and how she, with God's help, was able to look the people up who killed her parents and tell them that she forgave them. Boy, that's pretty hard, isn't it? That would be hard, hard to do. But we find that forgiveness is a real challenge for many people. In the book of Matthew, well, I want to move us right now to our scripture reading. Open your Bible to the Colossians, and we have this text. Colossians chapter 3, and beginning with 13. Well, let's read 12 too, because we had it for a scripture reading. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. It's not a matter of maybe we'll forgive them and maybe there won't. But in the New King James Version, it says we must do. We must be willing to do that, to forgive. And that is so very, very important. As I was reading and preparing for this, I read in Desire of Ages on page 568, Jesus knows the circumstances of every soul. You may say, I am sinful, very sinful. You may be, but the worse you are, the more you need Jesus. He turns no weeping, contrite one away. He does not tell to any all that he might reveal, but he bids every trembling soul take courage. Freely will he pardon all who come to him for forgiveness and restoration. You know, we must be willing to forgive others who we feel have wronged us. Jesus taught that to his disciples. He let them know that. In 1959, Ceylon's prime minister, Solomon Banareka, was shot 4 times by a Buddhist monk on the veranda of his home. And as he lay dying, his last words were, I appeal to all concerned to show compassion on this man and not try to wreak vengeance on him. And I thought, if a Buddhist monk who not accepted a forgiving Savior can manifest this spirit toward his assassin, can we not forgive as Jesus has taught us to forgive? And he also taught us right there in the Lord's Prayer, if you'll open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, the book back to the book of Matthew, and chapter 6, and verse 12. You know, we could read the whole Lord's Prayer here, but we're just going to look at verse 12 because that has the lesson for us on the subject of forgiveness. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, if we want Jesus only to forgive us as much as we are willing to forgive others, then maybe some of us would not have too much forgiveness. But to forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And you know, Jesus told a whole parable about this, about the debtor. One debtor had just a very little debt, and one debtor had a huge big debt. And the one that had the huge big debt, he came to his master and he fell down and he said, just be patient with me, give me time, I'll pay you everything I owe you. And the master had compassion on him, the Bible says. And for not only did he give him time, but he forgave him the whole debt. But that servant had another servant that owed him just a few pennies. And he went and tried to get him to pay all that he owed. And he wouldn't, and he said, the servant fell down and begged him and pleaded with him to have compassion on him, and he wouldn't do it. Instead, he's going to have his family sold and everything else to help pay off the debt. And when the man who forgave the first servant all that huge debt heard about it, he was very, very unhappy. And the whole debt came back on that servant. So Jesus was teaching a very important lesson here. And a willingness to forgive and be forgiven is so important. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes we cannot forgive ourselves. You know, I don't know about any of you, but as I get older in years, some of my terrible mistakes in the past come up before me. Anybody ever had that experience? Well, you know, we're told that our debt, our sins will be taken away from us, and they will not only be as far as the east is from the west, but the Bible tells us that they will be covered over in the depths of the sea. And that's where I want my sins to be, don't you? Down in the depths of the sea, not to come up. And, you know, not only that, I remember a story or an experience we had. There were two deacons in the church. And they kind of got in a fight with each other. Now, I know most deacons don't fight, but these two did. And one sat in the front on one side, and the other sat in the back on the other side. They didn't want anything to do with each other. And so the pastor said, "We've got to change this." So he called them together back in the prayer room, and he talked with them. He said, "This is not a good example. You need to forgive each other and start associating properly." And so they agreed. Yes, we're not a good example. We need to forgive each other. And they agreed to forgive each other. When he was all through, one of the deacons spoke up. And he said, "I will forgive him, but I'll never forget what he's done to me." Now, is that the kind of forgiveness that we need? You know, we need to be very careful about this, because forgiveness is something that's taught very clearly in the Bible. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We're only in that Lord, in the Lord's Prayer, it's asking us only to forgive as much as we are willing to forgive others. And we need to take that in mind as we consider this subject of forgiveness. Open your Bibles now to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. If any of you are taking down Bible texts, you can put that one down. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. If I can find it myself. Ephesians 4, reading starting with verse 31. Here is the counsel we have. "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." So Jesus was a great demonstration of forgiveness. He was willing to tell us what forgiveness is and all about it. Now, you know, we talked about sending all of our sins into the depths of the sea. Open your Bible to Micah chapter 7 and verse 19. Micah 7 and verse 19. And that comes right after Jonah. Micah 7 and verse 19. says he will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You, Lord, will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which have sworn to our fathers from days of old. So forgiveness is not something new. The Lord says that he will forgive in Acts chapter 7 and verse 60, and I won't have time to turn to all of these, but it talks about the far as the east is from the west, so you will get rid of our sins for us. And the Bible is full of good examples of forgiveness. And one of the first ones that I think about this Sabbath morning is Stephen. Here is Stephen, a dedicated deacon, preaching the truth, and they stoned him. Now, if you've ever visited the Jerusalem area, Israel, you'll find that there's a lot of stones. And most of them are stones that can be thrown, some bigger than others. But they stoned Stephen, and in his dying words, he said that, "Father, don't hold this sin against them." In other words, forgive them. I don't know that I could say that if I'm being stoned, but we'd have to have a strong grip on the Lord and know that he would be with us and the Holy Spirit would provide for us. And by the way, that whole story is found in Acts, the 7th chapter. And I'm just going to read a little bit there in verse 60. There's a lot of verses. And let's go to 59. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So Stephen was a true example of forgiveness, even to his persecutors and those that killed him. Another example I want us to look at, as time permits this morning, is that of David. Remember, Saul was out to kill David, and many times he tried to find him to kill him, threw his spear at him, his javelin, and David said, "Lord, don't." He had a forgiving spirit. In 1 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 10, it says this. I got that down correctly. 'Take me a little longer to find some of these texts. 24 and verse 10. Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you. But my eye spared you, and I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Even though Saul was trying to kill David, David forgave him and would not stretch out his hand to do evil toward him. And David, we know David got into some serious trouble, and he confessed, and God forgave him in the Psalm 51, verse 10. Is a great example of David's willingness to be forgiven and to forgive. And he said this, You know, he had a man killed and took his wife away. And he realized, even though he was king, that he had done wrong. And he asked forgiveness. And he said to the Lord, well, let's read verse 9. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. So he was asking God's gracious forgiveness and accepting his forgiveness, and that worked so well for David, and he cleansed his heart. In Psalm 103:12, while we're here, Psalm 103:12 said this: as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So he take away his sin and take it away as far as the east is from the west. Now, the third person that I want to talk about forgiveness in the Bible is Joseph. And I suppose there's no other story in the Bible outside of Jesus that tugs at my heart like the story of Joseph. Remember, his brothers put him in a pit first, and they were going to kill him. But the older brother talked them out of it, Reuben. And then they pulled him up and sold him as a slave into Egypt. And while he was down there, things changed, and he became the fifth ruler of Egypt. And his brothers had to come back and beg for grain because the famine was in the land and very sore. So those brothers came, and just like he saw in his dream, they fell down before him, not even knowing it was Joseph. And they begged for grain. And when he revealed himself to them, they thought, surely now he will take revenge on us and get even with us. But instead of doing that, he hugged every one of his brothers. He forgave his brothers. He told them to bring the father down into Egypt and all the family, because the famine was going to be 5 more years of famine. And they went home. And they had to confess to their father what they had done, and that Joseph was still alive, and that the coat that they brought to their father soaked in blood was set up by them with the blood of a lamb. And that was one of the hardest things. And when the chariots had come to get the father, he saw all this. He said, it is true then. My son is still alive. I will go down into Egypt. And all the family packed up and went down into Egypt. Actually, I was thinking about that, because the Bible says that how many people went down into Egypt? Anybody know?
70.
However, it's kind of a trick question. Because 70 didn't go down into Egypt, because 4 were already there, and that made 70. There were 66 that went down, but 4 were already there, because Joseph and his wife and their 2 sons were already there, weren't they? Yeah, so there were 70 of all they started. So Joseph demonstrated real forgiveness. Someone has put it this way. and very correctly so, I think, when they said, forgiveness is the perfume that the trampled flower cast back upon the foot that crushed it. Well, think about that a little bit. When forgive. Have you ever forgiven someone and it felt like a great load off your shoulder? And like you got rid of your backpack? You know, it's a backpack full of rocks or something was taken off your shoulder when you forgave. Truly forgive. Truly forgive. And not only that, but let the Lord help you not only to forgive, but to forget. You know, Jesus is our wonderful example. And he was willing to forgive that we might have eternal salvation. When I think of that, and I think of Jesus' example of forgiveness, as he hung there on the cross in Luke 23:34. Let's just read that a minute. Luke 23:34. They'd taken him, they'd nailed him to the cross, and he was dying on the cross, and he spoke a few words while he was there on the cross, but among them was this one here, at 23:34. Jesus said, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. So he asked, he said, they really are not aware of what they're doing, but they are fulfilling prophecy. But the thing about their hearts and all, he said, I forgive them. And you know, my dear friends, this Sabbath morning, it was my sin and your sin that nailed Jesus to the cross. And there on the cross, he shed his blood that we each one might be forgiven. And that we might, through his shed blood, have our sins all washed away and be fit for his kingdom. I want that to happen in my life. I wonder if you don't want that to happen in your life as well. May the Lord help us each one as we think and pray about this subject of forgiving as Jesus forgave. Now, I understand that there's supposed to be a little card or something. So I see the deacons are coming now with this card, and we're going to talk a little bit. If you learned anything, I just want to close with this one text. And if you haven't memorized this text, I would suggest that you memorize it now. For it says, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Does anybody know that text by memory? Right. That is correct. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't have one of those cards. I don't know what it says, but thank you. Thank you. Okay. Well, that's a nice card. So when you get this card, put down your name, fill out what you can there, and your age group. I guess they don't have my age group there. They just got up. That's all they got, up. But on the back of the card are some questions that we're going to look at. And you can mark these as you see fit. The first one on the back is, am I willing to forgive like Jesus did? We have to examine our hearts for that, don't we? And number two there, am I willing to forgive and forget? You know, this forgetting business, there's some things we need to forget, and there's some things that we need to remember. And on this one of forgiveness, we also need to remember to forget. And then the last one, I desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you've learned anything else from the message today, please write out what you'd like to there. And then, do they hand these in now, or do they leave them as they're leaving after the prayer? Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's bow our heads together for the closing prayer. Our dear Father in heaven, we want to thank you this Sabbath morning for Jesus, our wonderful Savior, who demonstrated in his own life while he was here on this earth the power of forgiveness. And we pray that you'll help us, each one, to know that we can forgive and we can forget only as the same power comes into our lives. Bless everyone here in the Valley View Church today. Be near to them and help us to claim the promise of your word, that if we will seek to be filled with your Spirit, that you will fill us and that you will save us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.